Olympic flag was taken down off of its flagpole, handed over to Tom Cruise, and it began its journey to the United States of America, where the next Summer Olympic Games in 2028 will be held in Los Angeles, California. Who else to throw their closing game participation but the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and Billie Eilish?
Okay, so when you think of America, do you think of Tom Cruise? I don't know. If I think American celebrity, what is the first celebrity that pops into your mind that would represent to the world America, Hollywood?
Steph Curry.
Well, I'm talking about Hollywood. Golden State, how close is that to Hollywood? I don't know. I've never been to California.
Decent ways. I think San Fran's a while from L.A. But this is one thing that's going to be interesting. I don't want to hang on this for too long. But I'll tell you one thing I'm a little bit worried about. The L.A. Olympics are going to be about L.A., not the United States. This is not going to be a dial-in on us. This is going to be 100% a look, we're L.A., look how amazing we are show.
Well, I mean, the common conception, the stereotype, I'll try to come up with some other big words.
We don't do that here.
I'll look at the stereotype.
I'm going to have to ask you what they all mean.
Okay, I can explain them to you. Is that Hollywood is America?
I mean, listen, as a cultural representation, yeah, for sure. It is a
I'm just saying around the world. I mean, that's the way people make it look like.
It is the entertainment capital of the world. And
I thought that was Bollywood.
Your entertainment is usually reflective of your culture and society.
Is it though?
Yeah, it is.
I think it is. I think better movies come out of Atlanta.
You might not be wrong. But L.A. is still the representation of entertainment. All of that being said, I think that
how would they have bolstered our lineup of celebrities? I mean, who should they have thrown in there? How would they have beefed it up?
Sydney Sweeney.
No, they got to beef it up, so they probably have to put a larger person in there.
Bolster does not refer to simply physical stature.
Beef up.
That's what beefed up does.
Yeah, it
right?
does. It does, right.
Right. What celebrity would you have sent to represent the U.S. to take the flag ahead of it? You go with Tom Cruise because he can do that cool thing where he rappels down from the roof of a stadium, which, don't get me wrong, pretty dope.
Yeah, nobody else is going to do that, probably. Yeah. At least a stuntman would, but you wouldn't know who that is. So,
who else does? I don't know. I mean, you can't send, I'd say Ryan Reynolds, but he's Canadian, so you can't send him. Hugh Jackman's Australian.
He's Australian, yeah.
Can't send him.
Chris Evans? I don't know. Maybe.
Not a bad pick. Anyway, was it just me or the Olympics freaking awesome this year? And I don't think, I mean, to me, the Olympics are awesome every time they roll around. I love the Olympics. I can't wait and that includes the Winter Games, just so we're clear. I can't wait for 2 years from now when the Winter Games fire up.
Yeah, we don't. I don't think we do real well medal-wise in the Winter Games.
I think we do okay. Let's see. 2022 Winter Games.
I think we own the Summer Olympics. I don't know that we own the Winter Olympics.
Let's see. I mean, I don't expect that we're... Let's see. In 2022, your gold medal... Hang on. Here's your medal. I got to go to the whole table because they just threw a number out there. Norway was first overall with 37 medals. Deutschland second with 27. The U.S. third with 25 total. China 15. Sweden 18. Netherlands 17. Oh, the ROC had 32. So Russia didn't beat us, but the Russian Olympic Committee did. The total number of medals, we came in fifth, one behind Canada.
Yeah, I don't even think we can win the X game stuff that's in there, the half pipe and stuff like that. We don't win that anymore.
We had a tie for third most gold medals. We had a third place finish in silver medals. And we had sixth place in bronze medals. Japan got us in the bronze. I don't care. I love it. And I will go one step further. Do I like seeing the Americans win? Obviously, I lost my mind earlier this morning and will again later on when we celebrate Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry.
You were getting drowned out by the choir. My bad. But I'll try to mix it better next time.
I mean, I could have done it over here, but I'm lazy. I needed the people to really feel that Stephen Curry. Yes, I love it when the Americans win. I'm a big fan. A proponent, even a fan. However, I still enjoy watching everything, even when we're not winning a thing. If I watch the bronze medal game in U.S. women's soccer. I watched the bronze and gold medal games in men's soccer. We weren't in that.
Yeah, if we're not in it, I'm not really that interested.
See, I am, and I think, and that's what I said to Cody Decker on Bet for the Cycle Saturday.
I think if you're watching other teams play, you're rooting for another country, and that's anti-American.
I'll tell you who I'm rooting for. This is kind of the direction I'm going. I am rooting for athletes who spend years of their life honing in their craft for one opportunity. For one shot, mom spaghetti. They get one crack at this thing. So if you're lucky, you get two. Only the elite get three. Except Dana Taurasi, who got six at 41. But the point here is, I root for the athletes competing because I can't understand what it must be like to be in that spot. But I can understand what it's like to be in that spot. To spend 3 or 4 years of your life getting ready. Somebody did the math, and Al Michaels was talking about, I think it was Al was talking about this last night. If you added up the mileage that Katie Ledecky swam from 2020 till 2024 just to get ready for these Olympic Games, she will literally have swum around the world. That's insanity. Think about that for a second. Katie Ledecky, if these numbers are true, and I didn't do the math because I hate math, but I'll just elect to believe him. If Al Michaels was correct, was it Al Michaels? Who was doing the closing ceremonies last night? Was it Tirico? I think it was Tirico. It was Tirico and Johnny Weir. They were talking about it. And they said if you added up the distance that Katie Ledecky would have swum to prepare for the events,
I know it's not swum.
Is it swam? Past tense. Yes, it is swam. Bang! Big words guy over here.
Yeah, but your first was...
Including bolstered.
Okay.
All right? If you added
you just
up...
You bolstered your knowledge by finding out what the past tense of
I was
swim
pretty
is.
Sure I was right, but you gave me a look that made me question
you
myself.
Because you said swum.
No, I did not.
You did.
I said all the mileage Katie Ledecky swam, and then you gave me a look, and I
dude.
Went, swum?
Dude.
Swam?
Dude,
we will pull the tape.
All right. Do you really want to?
Yes,
this?
I do.
You really do?
Because okay. I said swam. Okay. You right. looked at me funny, and then
swum.
I went, swam?
You said swam. That's
after
why I
after you
at
looked
you.
All right, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm right. Point here is.
You're upsetting our chemistry.
I'm trying to bolster it, but you keep throwing
we
stuff
We might
at
need
it.
To bolster the show with another person.
So
I'm getting traded again.
So, I thought that stat was out of this world. It may not even be true, but I elect to believe that it is. Because that is the joy of the games. That is the joy of the Olympics to me. That is what makes them great. That is why for 16 days I was locked in. Gold Zone is the best thing that's ever happened to me as a sports fan, as a sports viewer. Gold Zone was if I had to pay for Gold Zone, I'd have given him $100 for 16 days and way got my money's worth.
By the way, I was looking this morning because now Olympics aren't on just to see what would have been on if we threw it up in the studio. The Ocho was on yesterday. It ended this morning at 6 a.m.
I'd watch the hell out of the ocean.
I watched dodgeball this morning while I was
Which, by the way, if we want to add that to the Olympics.
I think it was an Olympic sport at one time, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
I believe so.
I have no idea. Texter said, he said swam.
Well, the stream begs to differ also, and I'll pull the tape later.
Oh, we will.
And if no, I will, because you'll just forget. But I'll do it. Just and if I'm wrong, and I've been wrong before.
When?
And then there's other times when we have to use boat.
So, I love the Olympic Games. I was all dialed in. I'm not even kidding. Genuinely got emotional last night watching the closing ceremonies. Like was in my fees a little bit last night watching the closing ceremonies. For a bunch of reasons. Number one, the BBC, which is the British Broadcasting Company, they are who provides Olympic coverage in the UK and Great Britain. They put up a montage of parents of Olympic competitors holding up pictures of their kids as kids and talking about how proud of them they are and how hard they worked to get here. And then they did, as you have to do, they did the collage of Olympic athletes whose parents are dead and how proud they would have been of me and all that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm fine. My contacts are just a little dry. I'm good. Everything's fine. And then they were like showing montages, like bleedovers from these kids as kids doing the sport and then transitioning them into competing for the Olympics. They had one of the Great Britain swimmers who won gold. They had a video of him as a kid saying, I'm going to win a gold at the 2024 Olympic Games. And then he did. Like it was just this incredible moment. And then to see the athletes out there just having the time of their lives at the closing ceremonies was unbelievable. And I think anybody who has ever had to make long-term commitment and long-term sacrifice to accomplish something, and then that thing happens, you get it. You get it. But imagine that, except for you got one opportunity, one time every 4 years. And oh, by the way, competing against you for that thing is a whole litany of people who have been doing the same thing. Doing everything in their power to be ready for this moment. And you not just have to be ready in this moment, but you can't screw up in this moment.
Can you explain to me why you started talking about you being in your feels for the Olympics and then suddenly your post from yesterday shows up on my feed as number one?
I'm an influencer.
Or your phone is.
I'm an influencer. What do you want?
Stop listening, government.
Government.
Unless you're listening on the radio or the app or, you know, the internet, then we're okay.
So I was in my feels. Because I thought, first off, I thought Paris did an excellent job. I thought they did an excellent job. There were very few giddy ups. Nope. Hiccups. Those are different ups. Very different ups. Very few hiccups in this thing. You had the issue with the river where the triathlon and whatever else was taking place. But outside of that, you didn't really have any hiccups in this thing.
Opening ceremony. And then there was some...
What was the hiccup in the opening ceremony?
Anyway.
Oh, some people got in their feelings? This is obviously about me?
Like a good portion of the world did?
No, not the world. The U.S.
A good portion of the world did. Because there were actually protests there from other countries after it. And there was one major sponsor pulled out and things like that. So there were some hiccups.
Without going down that rabbit hole, unless we just want to.
No, I'm just saying you're acting like it went off without a hitch, but it didn't.
It went off without a hitch.
That's the reason why a lot of people didn't watch the closing ceremonies, because they were worried they were going to do that thing again.
Your loss. It was spectacular. Both of them were. Your loss. They did go. There was some people who were upset about it afterwards, But the opening ceremony went off without a hitch, and it was artistic and laughably French.
The only thing
which
good
is what
about
I was in
it,
for.
The only thing good about it was the horse in the water. That was
the horse
cool.
in the water was dope.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
the Assassin's Creed character running all over France was dope.
How many people got that though?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that, but it totally was. But it wasn't that. But it was. I thought the paintings in the Louvre coming to life, I thought that was awesome. I thought that was very cool. I thought the closing ceremonies were spectacular. There was a good mix of music, like live music, and a ridiculously French artistic expression. Like I thought it was enjoyable. I thought they pulled it off. I thought the games themselves went very smoothly, with the exception of what? One soccer match where a bunch of fans stormed the pitch and the river being dirty. Outside of that, the actual games themselves were great.
Where's the pitch?
The field.
Why are we using the word pitch? I mean, no one uses that word.
No one uses the word pitch.
We use field.
I don't
understand why you're using the word pitch.
Why are you being combative? Lonzo, you have a celebrity status.
Because you don't like me. You don't even like that guy over there.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the competition. I enjoyed the emotion behind the games. I enjoyed ceremonies both opening and closing. I thought every bit of it was remarkably well done. I thought France pulled it off. And this was not an easy Olympics to pull off. Not an easy Olympics to pull off because you had 2020 where we didn't have fans in London, and that was just, it was just odd. So you're bringing back fans, which we haven't done in 8 years now. You've got to keep all that safe and organized. They found a way to do that. I thought it was great, and I thought the bar got raised for Los Angeles. But most importantly, at its core, I thought the sports were good. Most importantly, I thought the games were good. I thought the athletes were great. I thought they put on a display of the passion and competitiveness that makes competition one of our favorite things to celebrate. I thought they nailed it. Well done, Paris. Bravo. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. What was the best meme of the Olympic Games? Was it Turkish shooter with hand in pocket? Was it
him or the Taiwan lady also the gun?
Yep.
Putting them in with John Wick.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw those were pretty good.
Very good. Was it the surfers who board shorts came down while he was trying to get on his board and he mooned the world?
I didn't see that.
That was pretty legendary.
But that's hilarious.
That's one of those things that if he came out 2 weeks from now and he's like, nah, I totally did that on purpose, I'd be like, nah, surf's up, bro. That's pretty funny. You mooned the world, dude. Totally tubular, bro. That was pretty good. Did you see the gymnast who has been advertising cheese for years and apparently did a whole photo shoot with wheels of Parmesan cheese?
They were tastefully done.
They were.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legitimately, a good photo shoot, except instead of, like, a partner, it was cheese.
Some of the cheese was naked, but it was artistic. So it's safe to look at work.
Yep. Did a great job putting her hands in just the right position to cover up the cheese. Giorgio Vila is an Italian gymnast who has been sponsored by a Parmesan cheese, or as somebody on the internet said, she's sponsored by Big Parma.
That's wicked.
Yeah, that's a good joke. Like that a lot. So, what was the best? I gotta say, it was Turkish shooter guy, I think, right up until Friday when myself and Zoe and Captain America Chris Evans down the hall sat in the Fortress of Nerditude and watched Break and went, Ray Gun's a meme.
And I think it was Big Dave. I think it was his name.
Yep. That's exactly right.
I invited him into the office like, hey, man, come on. We're getting ready to watch the inaugural breakdancing. And then we saw that.
Dude, Ray Gun. If you missed Ray Gun, whose name in real life is Rachel, not Reagan, Ray Gun got out there and she tried her hardest. And it did not go great. Did not go great for Ray Gun.
Well, apparently you have to have a B-girl or B-boy name. So, I mean.
It's it. Ray Gun. Yeah. Ray Gun.
That was hers. And, yeah. What would yours be?
That's a great question. I don't know. I never thought about it. How is that not a thing we all came up with on?
Credit to Chris Evans. He asked me that Saturday. And I was curious about that. Mine is already done. So.
And it is?
Big Z.
You can do better.
Nah.
You can do better than Big Z. Big Z is just something that I would call you on the show.
I would just say that.
And I'd probably do now, by the way.
I'd be offended because that's akin to beefy. As in beefed up.
You may call you tiny? No, Lil Z? I'll call you Lil Z.
Now you're saying that I beefed up the show, which I did in the last year.
It's been kind of sad.
Did I?
You bolstered the show.
Okay. Back in the day when breakdancing first started, I was there. The names didn't come along till later, but some of the names are kind of lame.
We watched here. Before I left on Friday, I watched like the first 35, 40 minutes of Women's Break.
We continued to watch after you left.
Oh, I went home and watched.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I went home and watched. I'm like, you know what? Let me be at the house when the gold medal gets handed out. So I went back to the house.
I was like, I know you guys are standing around, but I'm working. I'm doing my job watching Breaking.
Ray Gun is a 36-year-old Australian breaker who apparently is actually in real life pretty good, but just was not during the competition on Friday to the point that she just became an immediate meme. Just immediately memed. Immediately was on the internet.
You're making those up. They're not bad, though. They're not bad.
I mean, most of what I talk about is made up if we're keeping it a buck. I love Ray Gun. Ray Gun was spectacular because Ray Gun was the answer to a question that so many of us asked multiple times leading up to every Olympics. If you got the call to go tomorrow, would you take it? Would you go? Would you go knowing you are going to get embarrassed, but you get to go compete in the Olympics?
Well, I think I would just do the high jump and jump under the bar because you're automatically disqualified. Then you can just have fun the rest of the time.
Did you see the dude do that?
Yeah, it's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
But yeah, you go under the bar, you're done. So, I mean, you know.
I mean, I think if you go, I think the premise is we will send you, but you got to try, right? Would you go? Would you go if you got no training, but you had to try?
Oh, breakdown. I'm straight up Chris Farley that. I mean, you know, I'm pulling the shirt off, doing everything. I mean, why not?
Pretty much what Ray Gun did. Minus the pulling the shirt off, Ray Gun looked like she was just making it up on the spot and had never tried this before. Well,
that's kind of what they do. I mean, because they don't know the music, so that's how she was feeling the music. That's how she was interpreting the music that she was given.
It's pretty phenomenal, dude. It was pretty phenomenal. And again, big ups to Ray Gun because it took rocks to go, I can't be competitive. I won't be competitive. There's no way to be competitive, but YOLO, I'm going for it. I gotta go for it. How many times do you get the chance to go rep your country on the Olympic stage? I'm gonna get smoked. She lost three matches, all three of them 0-9, and yet she came out firing yesterday and was like, hey, that's not my style. That's not how I compete. I'm not a creative breakdancer. It is what it is.
By the way, one of the best moments, and it just popped up on my feed, I had forgotten about it, was the beach volleyball getting ready to fight.
Brazil and Canada.
And then the DJ played Imagine by John Lennon, and you could see him starting to laugh about it.
Yep.
That was pretty good.
The
I would have played the Rocky theme. because I want to see him go. But
the
you know.
One chick from Brazil could genuinely take me. The tall chick from Canada, I would let her. Like, I thought we were going to get an Olympic fight for the ages out of this. And then the DJ's like, what's the funniest possible thing I can do right now? And the answer was play Imagine by John Lennon. Oh, yeah. Texter said pole vaulter's dong was a great one. Yeah, no, it was the greatest one. It was the greatest one. Turkish shooter and the French pole vaulter's pole vault was easily the top two memes. There was I showed Lonzo this last week. There's a dude who made an oil painting of that moment, complete with anatomical correctness, which was spectacular. I think that might be, I'm not going to say it was the best of the Olympics. It was absolutely my favorite. Absolutely my favorite. That dude has a story that he will tell for the rest of his life until he has kids and they go, Dad, stop embarrassing us.
Yeah, I don't think you tell your kids that. But I mean, they don't, Dad, it was on the internet and I found this. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, I mean, if they're ever on the internet, it's showing up. If they're ever around people, they're going to be like, hey, this is my dad, Frenchie McVonvon.
Oh, it is now a video that all pole vaulters will be shown in probably high school before they start pole vaulting.
That man,
here is what not to do.
That man has single-handedly changed the undergarment scene in the pole vaulting landscape. That guy is the best representative that whitey tighties have ever had.
This is why we wear a strap, people.
Yep. Yep. That guy is a one-man advertising brand for Hanes whitey tighties, is what that guy is. Excellent work from that cat. John Blau, Post and Courier, joins us to talk Clemson athletics when we come back. Start of the 9 o'clock hour, the wildest story I've ever seen. A college football transfer who claims he had to transfer because an agent catfished other teams pretending to be him, and then his old team kicked him out because of it. We got that for you coming up at 9. John Blau next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio and televisions and computers and tablets and cell phones and wherever else you might be listening. Great to have you. I am Rob Brown, the great Melonzo on the ones and twos. And now joining us on the phone, as he does every single Monday at this time, to talk Clemson athletics. He covers the Tigers for the Post and Courier. He is John Blau. Happy Monday, John. Welcome back, big dog. How we feeling?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Doing very well. Doing very well. Thank you very much, man. Let's jump right in. We'll do our, what I think at this point is obligatory lawsuit check-in here in just a couple of minutes right now, because we do have a development, not with Clemson, with Florida State, but it may have an impact. We'll circle back to that. Do want to get to the fact that the Clemson Tiger fall camp ongoing. Have been in pads for about coming up on a week now and did have a bit of a scrimmage. Has anything, John Blau, in the last 3 or 4 days since we've gone full kit, has anything jumped off the page at you that you think Tiger fans should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, from the scrimmage, I think the most interesting thing that Dabo Swinney said was that the offensive line won the day in the first scrimmage. So obviously that's encouraging news, considering that, you know, people wanted to see progress in that unit, having Matt Luke now as the offensive line coach. Obviously bring a lot of players back, but, you know, it hasn't been a unit that's really, you know, won a lot. And to win against that defensive line for Clemson, obviously have a ton coming back, especially defensive tackle. For them to quote-unquote win the day, according to Dabo Swinney, bodes really well, especially because Garrett Riley, the second year as offensive coordinator, you know, he has that dirt raid scheme. He likes to be balanced with run pass. If he can get the run going with a guy like Phil Maffa and these other running backs, that really takes a lot of weight off of Kate Klubnik's shoulders, maybe opens things up for the receiver. So that was an interesting note, I would say, from the first scrimmage.
Talk to me a little bit about that unit, if you don't mind, because again, there's a lot of us, John, that have said Clemson's success or failure this year may be very well defined by the development and performance of Cade Klubnik. But I think just about any quarterback will tell you they can only be as good as the five guys wearing 70s and 60s numbers ahead of them. I know we've got a little bit of experience there. I know we've got some guys that are going to be stepping in for the first time, including right in the middle of the offensive line. How has this group developed? What type of chemistry would you say you've seen out of the offensive line so far?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get to see a lot of chemistry because there was absolutely zero 11-on-11 action that we saw in camp, and the scrimmage is closed, so we're only going off of the words that the coaches and the players are telling us. But talk about Blake Miller, a guy at right tackle. I saw PFF the other day graded him as one of the best players in college football in terms of hand usage as a blocker. I mean, Dabo Swinney asked him. He says, that's a guy we don't even worry about at right tackle. I mean, that's potentially an elite player in the ACC. I think they feel like Tristan Lee, former five-star, has taken another step. Obviously, he's got a full year as a starter under his belt now. Obviously, he's got Matt Luke in his ear. He's obviously got a higher ceiling than what he's shown at this point in time. I think they think that he has a chance to take a step forward. They're a pretty good pass protector, but run blocking will be important. And obviously, at those guard positions, Marcus Tate, Walker Parks have both been injured. Walker Parks is a guy that, you look back at last season and people wonder why the offensive line wasn't as good as it maybe they hoped it would be. I mean, missing a guy like Walker Parks is a pretty big deal. I mean, he's a guy with multiple years as a starter under his belt. When he's healthy, he's good. Obviously, he's had ankle injuries, so you hope he's back to where he's supposed to be. And then the one question is really just that center position. I mean, is it going to be Harris Sewell? Is it going to be Ryan Linthicum? Ryan Linthicum back in the day was a pretty highly touted center prospect. It's just taken a while for him to get his body in the right shape. Obviously, he's been behind a guy like Will Putnam, had a chance to learn. We'll see if he's really ready for the spotlight. If not, you got a guy like Harris Sewell, who started a ton of games. I think got 460 snaps under his belt as a freshman. He can play guard or center. And then if Harris Sewell isn't starting, you got him and Colin Sadler are two guys that can rotate in at guard. And so they feel better about the depth. They feel better about the experience. It's just about, again, showing on the field. They'll obviously have a great opportunity against a team like Georgia.
We're talking to John Blau from the Post and Courier. Joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. Let's talk about the guys Cade's going to be throwing to, and that's the wide receiver core, because obviously that's a spot that a little bit of concern last year for a school that used to consider itself a contender as wide receiver U. They haven't really gotten the production out of that position the last couple of years they were hoping for, but I've heard big things about Tyler Brown. Obviously, a lot of expectations out of the redshirt sophomore Antonio Williams as well. And then you and I talked about him last week, Bryant Wesco Jr., who was a guy that Cade Klubnik's gone out of his way to reference by name a number of times the last few weeks. John, has this wide receiver core, have the coaching staff say that it's been coming along the way that they hope?
Yeah, I mean, Dabo Swinney has talked about kind of a half dozen guys that he thinks could start for them. The last couple of years, it's really just been, did they even have a half dozen scholarship guys available because of injury? So to have six guys that they feel really good about, Adam Randall obviously has had injuries. They feel like he maybe finally got a little bit of momentum towards the back half of last season. He's actually stepped up as a leader. He printed out wide receiver U shirts, and underneath it says prove it, because obviously he knows that himself and all the guys in that room, they really got to prove it that they're at that level. Antonio Williams, I mean, a guy who's finally healthy after missing most of last year with an ankle injury. If they feel really good about his offseason in particular, feel like he's really taking a step forward physically and as a leader. Bryant Wesco is in that mix with Tyler Brown, Troy Stellato, Cole Turner. They think all those guys can start. I mean, the interesting X factor is a guy like TJ Moore, who is a summer enrollee. It sounds like he's been kind of drinking from the fire hose in terms of learning the offense and trying to get, acclimated. So he's a little, probably like a step or two behind Bryant Wesco. But they should, between Wesco and Moore, I mean, there should be a dynamic freshman that enters the mix. And Wesco, I mean, everybody raves about his, his speed, his cuts in and out of his breaks. He's only 6'2", 182, but that's big enough to play. And it sounds like he's just a very mature, level-headed guy, and it's really stood out just in terms of his ability to plug and play. So, yeah, they got a lot of guys in that room. Obviously, they have to kind of reach their potential, which obviously is a very high bar at Clemson in terms of being that wide receiver U, but I think they have a better chance than ever, considering just the amount of talent they have. The number of roles of the dice they have, at least a few of those should kind of turn up the way you want them to.
John Blau from the Post and Courier covers Clemson Athletics, joins us every Monday at 8:40 here on the Rob Brown Show. And obviously we'll talk a lot more football as we are less than 2 weeks away from week zero, 3 weeks away from week one, including that Georgia-Clemson showdown. Speaking of showdowns, John Blau obviously had a couple of developments that have popped up in these lawsuits. The first one was the fact, and you wrote an article about this not too long ago, that the judge in Clemson's case versus the ACC, that is the South Carolina case, points to lack of venue clause in ESPN agreements. Can you kind of explain to us a little bit about what the judge was trying to convey there?
Yeah, so basically he had a whole mess of things he was talking about from the, obviously back in July, he gave a verbal ruling from the bench saying, yeah, I think Clemson has standing here to sue the ACC because they, you know, the ACC does business here, obviously. And so but this was just his written opinion that he issued last week. And in it, he again talks about the amount of business the ACC does in South Carolina. So his court has jurisdiction. Also, he says, well, if North Carolina was the only place where the ACC can be sued with this, then there should have been something in the contract that says that if a dispute arises, that it will take place in a North Carolina court, which it does not. And the judge says, I'm not going to basically create a venue or forum selection clause, I think is the way he described it, after the fact, quote unquote. So, yeah, so basically it just brings us officially to the place we already knew we were, again, with that verbal ruling, now written ruling, that the ACC can be sued in South Carolina, according to this judge. I'm sure the ACC will appeal, just like Clemson appealed the North Carolina judge's ruling that they can be sued up in North Carolina. And then we'll be waiting months and months for some appeals to get, you know, briefs to be submitted and maybe some arguments there. And it will kind of be a little bit of a standstill waiting to see how that gets sorted out.
John Blau joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Last one, John, before we let you get back to it. We have found out that sometime this week, Florida State and the ACC will be sitting down at a table in Leon County, Florida, for mediation in their lawsuit. The thought is that the two sides would try to find a settlement somewhere in the middle and negotiate in good faith, but Thursday is the last day for schools to notify the ACC if they intend to exit. I don't know if that's a coincidence or if that's intentional or what, but if this mediation process is indeed taking place, John, what, if any, impact do you think that will have on Clemson's side of things?
Yeah, I think what it was, the judge in Florida, I think, basically said within 120 days, I want you to get together and have mediation. And, you know, that just happens to line up with this time of year. I don't think there's any, intention there. But, yeah, I mean, if something were to happen, if there was some kind of breakthrough between Florida State and ACC, that the ACC, that might create some kind of framework that would then allow a school like Clemson, or, you know, to say, well, okay, you did this with Florida State, we want to do something similar or something along those lines. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen, just the way that Jim Phillips and the ACC, has been presenting it, that they're going to fight this till the very end. They seem very dug in terms of feeling like this is an existential thing, and they're going to really fight it with everything they have. So I don't know how productive those conversations will actually be. They probably want more of their hand to kind of come out, in the courts, in terms of, we have this against you and you have that, we've got a stronger case than you do, and kind of gain more leverage. I don't know if they're at the point where they're really going to, fully settle this thing, but it is something to watch. And yeah, if there is any progress between Florida State and the ACC, maybe that trickles down in terms of creating a framework for Clemson and the ACC, but I'm not really holding out a lot of hope that anything will really happen there.
Yeah, I get the same impression. John Blau covers Clemson Athletics for the Post and Courier, joins us every Monday at 8:40 to talk Clemson sports. John, my man, as always, appreciate it. Big dog, we'll talk to you next week, 1 week closer to football.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Update. When we come back, this wild story, a football player who transferred multiple times in the last offseason said the reason he had to was because an agent effectively catfished schools, pretending to be him, and did so without him or his parents knowing it. This is going to be one of those stories that anti-portal people are absolutely going to latch onto. Eh, we'll try it anyway. That's all after Lonzo gives you a world-class, top-notch, gold medal caliber sports flash.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Summer Games of 2024, I had something to say, but I changed my mind. The Summer Games 2024 came to their conclusion yesterday with the Americans adding a few more gold medals, placing them in a tie with China for most golds, each with 40. The Americans also finished the Games with 44 silvers and a 42 bronze for a total of 126 medals, the most of any country in Paris, clearing second place China by 35 total medals. The Atlanta Braves suffered one of their most disappointing losses of the year last night, falling 9-8 to the Colorado Rockies. Atlanta surrendered 7 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning, giving away an 8-2 lead. Despite the Atlanta loss, they still hold wild card spot, a half game up on the Mets. Tune in this afternoon, 3-7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and the Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, whole lot of fun. No Diesel, Wire to Wire.